another episode of Kodo Cinema, the podcast show where I talk about movies. I'm your host, Mark Kodo, a.k.a. Kodo Man. For this episode, I'm going to talk about the latest Willy Wonka movie titled Wonka. The Wonka movie tells the origin story of Willy Wonka, a character in the 1964 novel Charlie and the Chocolate Factory by Roald Dahl, depicting his early days as a chocolatier, or a magician, an inventor in chocolate. The film stars Timothy Chalamet as the title character, with an ensemble cast which includes Keegan-Michael Key, Patterson Joseph, Matt Lucas, Sally Hawkins, Rowan Atkinson, Jim Carter, Olivia Colman, and Hugh Grant, among many other cast members. Now, Wonka is the third live-action film based on Dahl's novel, following Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory that came out in 1971, and the 2005 film of Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Now, development of the film began when Warner Brothers Pictures acquired the rights to the character in October of 2016 and announced that the film would be an origin story while it tells an original story with no connection to any prior adaptation. And of course, this film was developed by Paul King, who developed the film to exist as a companion piece to the 1971 film by reprising some of the musical cleansome themes as well from the original film, and of course the visual design of the Oompa Loompas. And of course, in May 2021, Timothy Chalamet was confirmed to portray Willy Wonka, and the supporting cast were also announced in September of that year as well. Filming began in the United Kingdom in September at Warner Bros. Studios in the Leavesden in Watford, as well as Oxford, among many other locations as well. And of course, the film's original songs were written by Neil Hannon and its original score by Joby Talbot. Now, the film had its theatrical release in the United States on December 15th by Warner Brothers Pictures, although it had an early release on November 28th of 2023, and then, of course, in the United Kingdom on December 8th of that year as well. Now, the film itself received generally positive reviews from critics and was a commercial success, grossing $629 million worldwide against a budget of $125 million, and it became the eighth highest-grossing film of 2023. And plus, Timothy Chalamet was nominated for a Golden Globe for Best Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. Now, just to give you a brief background on films based on Roald Dahl's books. I have seen a couple of films that are based on Roald Dahl's work, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory being one of them, but also Matilda as well, and of course, Fantastic Mr. Fox, to which me and my buddies Chandler Smith, Christian Taylor, and Leah Pyszynski and I, we all talked about Fantastic Mr. Fox on Kodo Cinema, which is on the WEIU website under radio and through other WEIU podcasts. First of all, big shout out to Christian Taylor, Leah Pyszynski, and Chandler Smith for joining me on this episode. Thank you all so much for joining me on that episode. That was a fun episode to talk about. And The Witches. I seen both versions of The Witches as well. So I've seen a few Roald Dahl films left and right. There's my little history on that. Also, my introduction to Willy Wonka was actually back in elementary school, where it was from my third grade teacher who read the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory book, and then after my teacher was finished reading the book, we all joined together with other classmates to watch the 2005 version of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which is the Tim Burton version, which is obviously called Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And for the most part, I enjoyed that film. I thought the film was okay. I know a whole lot of people today didn't enjoy Tim Burton's take on Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Sure, yeah, it was a reboot. I mean, I know, I understand not a whole lot of people will like reboots, but I thought the reboot was okay. It wasn't perfect, but I enjoyed it. I mean, come on, it's Tim Burton. I mean, you all know what Tim Burton does with his films, including Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp was in that movie too. He played Willy Wonka, and I know a lot of people were split on Johnny Depp's performance. I mean, to be honest, I'm a bit on the fence too, but I thought Johnny Depp was okay. It was his own take. It was his own take on the character. Here's the thing. Johnny Depp will not top Gene Wilder. I'll say this because Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka, he was good. And I have seen the 1971 original as well. And here's a fact. Roald Dahl, who wrote the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory novel, he did not like the 1971 Willy Wonka movie. He didn't like how the film turned out to be. Like, there are many reasons. There are a few reasons. Like, he disliked the casting of Gene Wilder as Willy Wonka because he thought that Gene Wilder's interpretation of the character was wildly wrong, which ruined the cinematic experience. And of course, as I mentioned, he did not like the movie. He disowned the entire project because of the deviations from the original novel and hated the musical numbers, which he thought were, and I quote, sappy and sentimental. That's what he said. And I'll be honest with you, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who have different opinions and criticisms of film adaptations based on popular books, and I can understand that. And from Roald Dahl's side, I mean, that's his opinion. But anyway, I mean, the film itself, the original 1971 film, I mean, it didn't do well at the box office, but it got popular in pop culture. And of course, I mean, even the 1971 original got good reviews as well. So at the very least, it was a good film at the very least. Plus, of course, in 2005, I mean, when Tim Burton took over, I mean, there were positive reviews as well. But unfortunately, critical reception for Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, it was split down the line of whether or not it was a good adaptation or not. And of course, the casting of Johnny Depp as Willy Wonka. But like I said, I was a bit on the fence of Johnny Depp's performance as Willy Wonka. But at the same time, I thought he was okay. It was Johnny Depp's own take as Willy Wonka. And of course, he won't top Gene Wilder. That's all I can say about that. Now, how about the latest Willy Wonka movie with Timothée Chalamet? Now, with this one, the one that came out in 2023, that one I actually liked. I enjoyed the 2023 Willy Wonka movie. It was actually very good. It was a fun movie. I enjoyed it. Paul King directed the movie, and he has directed the first two Paddington movies. And the Paddington movies were definitely good. Were good films. I haven't seen those films, but him coming on board to direct the Willy Wonka movie, it was actually good. He was actually a good choice. Chalamet, in my opinion, was a good choice as well. I mean, Timothée Chalamet, I mean, he wasn't the first casting choice. Him and Tom Holland were the front runners for the title role after Paul King joined the project. Yeah, Timothée Chalamet and Tom Holland, they were both the front runners, and Chalamet went for it. And of course, other actors include Donald Glover, Ryan Gosling, and Ezra Miller. Those three were previously considered for the role. I don't know about Ezra Miller, Timothée Chalamet, or Tom Holland. I say they were two better picks than Ezra Miller. Ezra Miller, he had other issues. So I'm glad Timothée Chalamet and Tom Holland were the front runners. But at the end, the role went to Timothée Chalamet. So that was good. But anyway, King liked Chalamet's performance. Like, he compared Chalamet's performance of Willy Wonka to Charlie Chaplin, basically one of the greatest actors, and of course, a stuntman as well. Innocent character, almost like the immigrant tramp character coming to this world for the first time, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed and completely naive, and with this childlike wonder, but none of the street smarts that he's going to develop over the next 25 years. Chalamet was officially cast in May 2021 and was paid $9 million for his involvement. That's a lot of money. Chocolate money, if you ask me. So, of course, other cast members included Keegan-Michael Key, Sally Hawkins, Rowan Atkinson, Olivia Colman, and Jim Carter were among the newest additions to the cast. And, of course, Hugh Grant was involved as well, like an Oompa Loompa named Lofty. Yep, that's right. Hugh Grant is in this movie as well. So anyway, as I mentioned, the film was released in 2023 and it became a box office hit. It grossed over $629 million on a budget of $125 million. So anyway, let's get right to it. So anyway, quiet down and listen up. Nope, scratch that. Reverse it. It's time for me to break down the 2023 Willy Wonka movie titled Wonka. So the movie opens up with a young Willy Wonka, played by Timothy Chalamet, who is sailing on a ship, and he stands on top of the mast, singing a song when the ship ports at the docks. Willy continues singing, but gives away all but one of his silver coins, because he had 12 coins. He saved a lot of coins, saved 12 coins, which were silver coins, and of course the last one drops down a drain. And Willy Wonka goes to look at a store he plans to buy. And the store that he looks at, like, he wants to, like, use that store to open up a chocolate store. And he daydreams of this. And this is in a musical. This is a musical number. And I will say this. The musical number for it is good. I actually like the musical numbers for this movie. Like, the musical numbers in this movie are pretty good. Like, the first musical, the film opens up with Pure Imagination, and it's an instrumental background, and it's playing while introducing the Warner Brothers Pictures logo. And then, of course, the musical number, A Hat Full of Dreams, which is the name of the song, and this was sung by Timothy Chalamet and the cast of Wonka, and it's a good opening. They open it up right, and it's a real good start. And it's just to introduce the audience to Willy Wonka. He is a chocolatier, and a magician, an inventor in chocolate who wants to open up his own chocolate shop. And of course, I mean, it fails at one point at the start. Once he got to town, it's a European town of some sorts. It's snowy too, and it's snowy as well. Once he got there, he lost all of his coins, and of course, like, some of it was lost. Well, some of his coins he lost were basically, you know, supposed to buy a pumpkin that he accidentally smushed. And then, of course, the police charged Willy Wonka for 3 silver coins because he was daydreaming of opening up his chocolate shop. And the officer was like, no daydreaming. And, of course, my goodness. What a way to burst his bubble, man. Come on. But then, of course, he lost his last coin in a drain that he flipped the coin. Like, you know, you get the feeling he could flip the coin he was going to catch. But unfortunately, he lost it in the sewers, down the drain. Talk about money going down the drain. But unfortunately, Willy Wonka gets everything out and plans to sleep on a park bench. Like, he tries to make hot chocolate out of his hat, which is actually a pretty cool trick. I mean, like I said, he name drops magician as well, because he's also a magician. And he plans to sleep on a park bench until a dog called Tiddles comes and sniffs his leg, and a man tells him to come and spend the night in his sanctuary. And in case you all are wondering, this man works for a works at this what appears to be an apartment. Apartment, but it's more of a sanctuary or company. And once inside Scrubbit and Bleacher's sanctuary, which is the name, by the way, Willy Wonka heads for the fireplace to warm himself up. Mrs. Scrubbit, who's being played by Olivia Colman, shows Willy Wonka a contract to sign. And of course, this girl who works there, her name is Noodle, and Noodle is being played by Kala Lane. And Noodle is an orphan who becomes Willy Wonka's assistant later on in the movie. But like, Noodle tells Willy Wonka to read the small print and read the contract carefully and don't forget the small print. But unfortunately, Willy Wonka just instantly signs it. Willy Wonka's like, small print. See, nope, everything's fine over here. You know how contracts nowadays is like, it's like you read this little contract and it's just like there's a lot to read, but you know how everybody's like, it's like one of those contracts where do you agree or disagree? And they're like, yeah, I agree. Let's move on. But unfortunately, when Willy Wonka heard about the small print, Like, he was, like, Willy Wonka was about to get beaten up by this big guy who works with Mrs. Scrubbit. And it's a pretty funny moment. Like the guy literally holds this bat in his hand. He was about to knock him out. And Willy Wonka's like, all right, everything seems to be in order. Everything seems to be in order. Oh, and Mrs. Scrubbit and this big guy, he was like, they were like, okay, all right, boy. They were like, all right, fair enough. Let's get you a room to settle in. And I really like the moment. I really like this part where Willy Wonka goes upstairs to his room, and he was like, what very nice people. And I'm just like, you can say that again. There's also another small detail too with the small print. Like I like how that calls back to the 1971 Willy Wonka, where Willy Wonka shows all five kids and the parents the contract of what they're about to do in the factory, what's going on in the factory, and this tour. Like it starts, like, you see the fine print very well, but once it goes all the way down to the bottom, it's a very small print. And one of the kids was like, I can't see what the bottom is saying. Like, I see the print, but I can't understand what it's saying. Because at the bottom of the contract is a very small print. You can't even see it. And I like the small detail of that in the Wonka movie, when Willy Wonka was signing that contract for Scrubbit and Bleacher Sanctuary. So very nice little detail right there. Anyway, Mrs. Scrubbit tells Noodle off, because Noodle, told Willy Wonka to read the small print, but Willy Wonka ignores it, and then Mrs. Scrubbit throws Noodle in a coop, which almost reminds me of the Chokey from Matilda, if you know what I'm saying, because Roald Dahl also wrote the Matilda book as well. So anyway, the next day, Willy Wonka heads back to the gourmet store, which is the location where he wants to open up his chocolate store, and tells the public about his new flying chocolates. And those flying chocolates, now in case you're probably wondering what those flying chocolates are, they are called Hover Chocks. Who's for Hover Chocks? Like they're called Hover Chocks. Like, you hover in the air, you levitate in the air, and that's like the chocolate that Willy Wonka made. And he's gonna try to sell it to some of the customers, but unfortunately there was competition going on by a group called the Chocolate Cartel. And I'm going to be honest with you, that is a pretty cool name right there. Chocolate Cartel. You got three businesses going up against Willy Wonka. You got Gerald Prognose, who's being played by Matt Lucas. Felix Fickelgruber, being played by Matthew Banton. Of course, the leader of the Chocolate Cartel is basically Arthur Slugworth, who's being played by Patterson Joseph, and all three members of the Chocolate Cartel literally walk up to Willy Wonka as the three tried Wonka's Hover Chocks. And the threes were somewhat impressed by the flavors. Like, there was cherry flavor, there was caramel flavor, and then there was probably a couple of other flavors as well. But unfortunately, Arthur Slugworth was like, this chocolate sucks. And Wonka's like, we have a winner, ladies and gentlemen. Arthur Slugworth is just about to endorse me. Wait, what? You telling me my chocolate sucks? And, okay, he doesn't really say that, but Arthur Slugworth does not like Willy Wonka's chocolate. The flavors that he put in his chocolate, because the Slugworth and the rest of the Chocolate Cartel wanted one flavor for the chocolate. And to be fair, I can understand that, but come on. The Hover Chocks were pretty good in that movie, according to Willy Wonka. Especially, I love this last part where Willy Wonka says, well, you're not gonna like this next part. And of course, this is basically related to the Hover Chocks. If you know the term hover, flying, levitating, and of course, all three members of the Chocolate Cartel start flying in the air, and they're like, oh, this is the chocolate that makes you fly. And of course, Willy Wonka just opens the jar up of his famous Willy Wonka Hover Chocks, and he was like, who's up for Hover Chocks? and everybody was starting to enjoy it. And Willy Wonka gets paid. He's getting the money. He's about to earn the money, and he was going to use that money to pay off his lease or payment at the sanctuary. But unfortunately, it was the fun lasted until the police showed up, and Keegan-Michael Key plays the chief of the police, and he was like, "All right, people, nothing to see here. Just a small group of people defying the laws of gravity." And oh my goodness, oh man, I feel bad for Willy Wonka because that was his first day, and his money gets taken away. But thankfully, Willy Wonka and this one police officer that he talks to, like, he's like, "Please, sir. I mean, I gotta pay off this rent for this place that I was staying at for the night. Please." But thankfully, this one cop was very nice, and he was able to give Willy Wonka a crown, like a coin. Like, I'm pretty sure that's what it's called in Europe. He was very nice about it, and I'm glad Willy Wonka didn't leave the place empty-handed. But unfortunately, once Willy Wonka gets back to the place, Willy Wonka didn't read the contract properly, and that the coin or crown, this one crown that he had, that this police officer gave him, it wouldn't be enough to pay off his lease or rent. And of course, Mrs. Scrubbit tells Willy Wonka that he will have to work off the rest of his debt. And unfortunately, Willy Wonka goes down the laundry chute and meets a bunch of other people who suffered similar fates. These members who ended up down in, how do I say this, the basement of the sanctuary. You get members like Jim Carter plays one of the members. Jim Carter plays Abacus Crunch, who is an accountant. You got Natasha Rothwell as Piper Benz. You also have Rich Fulcher as a comedian named Larry Chucklesworth coming out of the scene with a spinning bow tie. And then Raki Thakrar as Lottie Bell. And those are the members who are basically down in the, I wouldn't say basement, but of course, you know, it's probably where all four members of Scrubbit and Bleacher Sanctuary, where they have to do laundry. This is like for they have to do laundry. That's what they're doing. That's what they're doing. And this leads into a musical number called Scrub Scrub. It's a funny musical number. I'm not gonna lie. Like, the main lyrics is basically scrub scrub, dun 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 dun, scrub scrub. It's just a funny musical number because all the workers down there are just basically washing the sheets for the beds and stuff to make sure like they're all washed, ironed, steamed, dried. You get it. And this musical number, I like how this musical number, like, not only you get the lyrics scrub scrub, but also like the way how it's edited. I like how it's edited. Like, the rhythm of this music and the editing worked very well. And this is like one of those musical numbers where the editing for it works very well, and I really enjoyed it. Like, you get the rhythm and the melody, like dun 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 bum 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 dun dun, and it works well with the editing. I like how it goes back and forth between all the members who are washing the sheets, drying the sheets, and of course Willy Wonka is just down there too. Willy Wonka's down there too, and he's like, "What the hell is going on? Why am I down here when I'm not selling chocolate?" Well, to be fair, you didn't pay off your debt. That's what everybody's doing down at Scrubbit and Bleacher Sanctuary. And then Noodle is upstairs too. And I like the part where Jim Carter's character tells Wonka, Willy Wonka, like, asks, like, "Where's the escape route?" And then, like, one of the members is like, "Well, we tried that, but unfortunately, Tiddles, the dog, tries to, it Tiddles, but unfortunately, if Mrs. Grubba catches you, that's another 1,000 down payment. And then Tiddles is blocking the door. He's basically the guard dog, and it's just funny. It's just funny because the dog is upstairs just blocking the entrance, and then Wonka's like, ah! It's just funny. It's just funny. But anyway, after the whole workday for Mr. Wonka, or should I say Mr. Wet Willy Wonka, we get to see Willy and Noodle have a conversation, and Noodle's like, I told you to read the fine print, and then Willy Wonka is like, yeah. When Willy and Noodle, Willy shares Noodle, like, the chocolate, you know, his dream of inventing chocolate. He shows her this little machine, this contraption of how he's making the chocolate, and it's a pretty cool contraption that he's using, and he makes this chocolate. It's basically the size of a lightning bolt, and he gives it to Noodle to try, as, you know, a little sample. Here's a little sample for you. Try it. And for the most part, she likes it, and Wonka tells Noodle about his love for chocolate, and it stems from his late mother, and Wonka's mother is being played by Sally Hawkins, and Wonka, like, that's basically Wonka's dream. He wants to, like, you know, sell chocolate, open up his own shop, and I get that. Even his mom agrees with it, too. And then, of course, the only way for Willy Wonka to do that is to, you know, he's gotta, like, leave the sanctuary to go do that. But unfortunately, he's under contract by Mrs. Scrubbit, and how is he gonna get out? Well, he's got an idea with a double ha, because a light bulb pops on in Willy Wonka's room at the sanctuary, and he's like, a double ha. Because Willy Wonka and Noodle came up with an idea for an escape plan for Willy. So the next morning, Willy and Noodle attempt to get Mrs. Scrubbit and Bleacher. That's the name. That's the name of the guy. The big guy. That's his name. Bleacher. That's who I was referring to. The big guy who almost knocked out Willy Wonka. So Noodle and Willy Wonka come up with an idea. Attempt to get Mrs. Scrubbit and Mr. Bleacher to fall in love. And Willy Wonka goes down the chute. Reveals an invention which will do everyone's work for them, and he and Noodle can escape. And, like, here's the name of the invention. And here's his invention. The name of the invention is the wonderful Wishy-Washy Wonka Walker. Actually, I'll say how Timothy Chalamet said. May I present Willy Wonka's wild and wonderful Wishy-Washy Wonka Walker. Please don't make me say that again. And I like how everyone's reaction down the basement, their reaction is just basically scrub, scrub. And because they're playing the song again, it's an instrumental background. And they're all saying scrub, scrub because they're impressed. They have no words to describe this wonderful Wishy-Washy Wonka Walker. And how is that being handled? Well, none other than Tiddles, the dog, who is basically running on this treadmill-like contraption for the Wishy-Washy Wonka Walker, and it's a very inventive way to get the laundry done faster, and it's amazing. It's literally amazing. Talk about a good invention for the future. I'm pretty sure that's one of the ideas for the Wonka Washer from the original 1971 Willy Wonka movie. I mean, if you know what I'm saying, but that's what got me to think about that. Well, it's Wonka Wash in reverse in the Willy Wonka movie from 1971. But anyway, moving forward, Noodle and Willy Wonka are out on the streets. Willy tells Noodle about a little orange man with green hair, referring to an Oompa Loompa who keeps stealing his chocolates, because Willy Wonka was going to give Noodle a piece of chocolate, but unfortunately, this little orange man with green hair, aka the Oompa Loompa, stole his chocolate. But Noodle doesn't believe him. So then Willy Wonka says that he needs to make more chocolate, and he needs the milk from a giraffe to make it. And no, I'm not making this up. He needs giraffe milk. Not goat's milk, not yak's milk, nor cow's milk. Giraffe milk. Need I say more? But anyway. Oh, and Mrs. Scrubbit and Mr. Bleacher are starting to get along pretty fine. And what is up with the later hoses that Mr. Bleacher was wearing? He was definitely trying to seduce Mrs. Scrubbit. I mean, of course, Willy Wonka was talking with Mr. Bleacher about it, and was like, I think Mrs. Scrubbit likes ya. And Mr. Bleacher was like, what are you talking about, kid? It's actually funny how it worked, the attempt to work of Willy Wonka and Noodle sending Mrs. Scrubbit and Mr. Bleacher up. That was pretty funny. But anyway, moving forward, Noodle and Willy Wonka are going to the zoo to find this giraffe, you know, to get giraffe's milk. But before that, Keegan-Michael Key's character in that movie, like, he plays this police chief who drops that gravity quote. No more, nothing to see, like, nothing to see here, folks. It's just people defying the laws of gravity. Like, Keegan-Michael Key's character, like, he's the police chief. Like, he goes to meet up with the chocolate cartel at this Catholic church. And of course, the priest, like, he confessed to this priest, who's being played by Rowan Atkinson, because somehow, like, the chocolate cartel got Rowan Atkinson's priest to, like, you know, to join this cartel. And the members of the chocolate cartel were talking, but unfortunately, Arthur Slugworth wants to make a deal with this police chief, and this leads into a musical number where the cartel leaders were bribing the police chief. And let's be honest, the police chief has a sweet tooth, and the police chief's like, yeah, I do, but I don't want to go along with this deal. Like, listen, I want to get ready for this police ball, you know, because I want to cut back on this chocolate. But unfortunately, but what's funny about this musical number, like, it starts off in a tango and then it goes into a jazz dance like ending, and they were like, have you got a sweet tooth? And the chief was like, I do. Then the police chief was like, no. I do not want to get tempted into this. I gotta get going. And then, of course, like, they keep tempting him with huge supplies of chocolate. Like, I think it was, I forgot what the number was, but it was like at least 1,000. And the police chief was like, all right, deal. Like, the police chief shakes Arthur Slugworth's hand, and then, of course, bam, the deal's in. Now, in case you're wondering what the deal was, the chocolate cartel, they want to force Willy Wonka to leave town and not sell chocolate. That was the deal. That's the deal that was going on. Later on at the zoo, Willy Wonka and Noodle are at the zoo, and the two meet up with this giraffe, and the giraffe is named Abigail. Willy Wonka is milking Abigail just to get giraffe's milk to make chocolate. It leads up to Willy Wonka and Noodle flying in the air with balloons as the two have the giraffe's milk and they're flying back to the sanctuary. And before that, Willy Wonka gets stopped by the police chief, Keegan-Michael Key's police chief. Like, he sees Wonka and Noodle, and Wonka tells Noodle to get back to the sanctuary with the giraffe's milk, and we see Willy Wonka and the police chief have a conversation, and the police chief tries to drown Willy Wonka because the police chief wants to tell Willy Wonka not to sell chocolate, just to leave town and not sell chocolate. But unfortunately, Willy Wonka doesn't hear that because Keegan-Michael Key tries to drown Willy Wonka in this icy fountain, and it was like, listen, Wonka, do not sell chocolate in town. And Wonka's like, what are you talking about? I couldn't hear you. Police chief was like, what do you mean you couldn't hear me? Because Willy Wonka told the police chief, well, I have water in my ears. And the police chief was like, oh. And the police chief keeps on going just to explain in a calm manner. He was like, listen. I don't want to do this, but sell chocolate in this town again, and you're going to get more than a bunk on the head. So basically what the police chief is telling him, he's telling him not to sell chocolate in this town, or else he'll get more than a bunk on the head. And he's delivering a message to Wonka, and this is from the chocolate cartel. Like the chocolate cartel wants to tell the police chief to tell Willy Wonka not to sell chocolate in this town and not interfere with the business, or else Willy Wonka will get more than a bump on the head. or a bonk on the head. And then Willy Wonka was like, well, I don't have a bonk on the head. What comes next is the police chief telling Willy Wonka to say, telling Willy Wonka, give me a sec. Pulls out his little bat, and then attempts to put a bonk on Willy Wonka's head. But unfortunately, the scene gets cut back to the sanctuary. And that actually got a huge laugh out of me. It was a pretty fun, it was a funny moment, to say the least. But anyway, moving forward, like, Willy Wonka and many of the laundromat members, or the employees, embark on a chocolate-selling crusade to alleviate their debts while using tunnels underneath the city to evade the police. Because one of the workers knows sewers. And I'm pretty sure that is Natasha Rothwell's character
who does that.
And during this chocolate crusade, it leads into actually a pretty good musical number called You Never Had Chocolate Like This. And that's literally the name of the musical number, You Never Had Chocolate Like This. And it's a pretty good musical number. It feels like a Broadway musical. And it's a very fun moment because Willy Wonka and his gang are selling chocolate and everybody's enjoying it. Like, people are enjoying chocolate on the subway, at a gourmet restaurant, or even out on the street, even a barber shop as well. We even get one moment with a barber shop who doesn't have hair, and Willy Wonka gives the customers this chocolate where it could grow hair on heads. Like, even a cat grew out his hair too. Especially, including, of course, we get this other scene with this gourmet where this one customer got rejected by this woman for an engagement, but unfortunately, he got his confidence back by eating one of Willy Wonka's giraffe chocolates, and confidence came back. And then the police keep chasing Wonka and his crew down, but unfortunately, at the end of the song, something was up. Like Keegan-Michael Key noticed a trail of chocolate wrappers, and he was like, "We should probably check out all the sewers for this." And what's very funny about this moment is that Keegan-Michael Key's character, the police chief, started to, like, gain, I'm pretty sure it was at least 150 pounds. And it's pretty funny how he says that. It's like, I'm pretty sure I gained 150 pounds from eating all this chocolate. Yeah, he made a deal with the chocolate cartel. But anyway, later that night, while Willy Wonka was sleeping, we get to see the orange man with green hair come in. And that is the Oompa Loompa being played by none other than Hugh Grant. Tries to steal Willy Wonka's chocolate, but fortunately, Willy Wonka traps the Oompa Loompa. And the Oompa Loompa is disappointed at Willy for stealing his cocoa bean from Loompa Land. And of course, this leads into a musical number from Hugh Grant. And it's a pretty fun musical number. Obviously, it's the Oompa Loompa theme. And what's funny is that he plays the flute. Willy Wonka's like, I do not want to hear that. And then the Oompa Loompa's like, too late, I started dancing now. Once we start, we can't stop. Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Doo, I got a tragic story for ya. Oompa Loompa Doompa Dee Doo, if you are wise, you listen to me. Oh man, the nostalgia kicks in because of that musical number from the 1971 original. Still holds up. I love that musical number. And of course, the Oompa Loompa, whose name is Lofty, and he tells Wonka that yeah, this is the Oompa Loompa land where I used to live. I was supposed to be guarding these cocoa beans until you picked the lot. Meaning that Willy Wonka stole all four of his cocoa beans. I think they're called pods. Cocoa pods, if you know what I'm saying. Because those cocoa pods have the cocoa beans inside them. And Lofty is like, you picked the lot. And then Willy Wonka's like, well, why'd you say something? Lofty confesses to Willy Wonka that he was drifting off. And he was falling asleep on the job. He was supposed to be guarding the cocoa beans, but he fell asleep on the job. Damn, man, you fell asleep on the job, Lofty? That's not good. Don't want to fall asleep on the job. But he did, and he gets kicked off the island until he pays 1,000-fold. Meaning he has to pay He has to pay the Oompa Loompas back a lot of chocolate. So anyway, Willie tells the Oompa Loompa, well, I can't sell it. I can't bring it all back. I mean, I gotta run this business. I mean, and then the Oompa Loompa's like, well, very well. Well, if you let me out, we'll talk about this, discuss this more like gentlemen. And Willy Wonka agrees to it at first, but unfortunately, he falls into the Oompa Loompa's tricks because the Oompa Loompa hits Willy Wonka in the head with a frying pan and escapes the room with Willy Wonka's chocolate. The Oompa Loompa, lofty, I should say, Oompa Loompas do not negotiate. Good day, sir. And then Willy Wonka's like, hey, that's my last jar! And then Lofty says, I said good day. Obviously, a callback to Willy Wonka says, I said good day. So anyway, the next day, Willy Wonka's friends showed Willy the keys to the store and opens it up. And at first, it was a bit of a dump, but they soon got it all up to scratch for Willy Wonka's grand opening of his chocolate store. And for the most part, it went really well. Until it was revealed that someone had sabotaged the treats and the customers all riot, burning down the store. And yes, for a day, Willy Wonka finally opens up his chocolate shop. And even the fact is, before he opened up, we get a good shot of Willy Wonka in the dark, and there's a good lightning background shining on his face, and as if he was about to turn the lights on inside his chocolate store. And he's basically calling out to his mom because, like, he's like, okay, mom, here we go. And it was a moment of triumph for Willy Wonka as he finally opened up this store. But unfortunately, like I said, someone sabotaged Willy Wonka's treats, and the customers all riot, burning down the store and demanding money back. The others leave Willy alone in the rubble, and the three chocolatiers arrive with a briefcase full of money, which they will give to his friends if he leaves town for good. And of course, Willy agrees. And of course, this is basically the whole cliche of, oh, I failed, I'm gonna leave this town. You know, this whole cliche of the hero, literally gives up and decides to go back to where the hero came from, you know. But it gets better down the line. And of course, Willy Wonka arrives at the docks, shakes Slugworth's hand, and sets sail. Also on board was the Oompa Loompa, Lofty, and he tells Willy he won't leave him alone until he gets the chocolate, and Willy notices an A mark on his hand and realizes that Noodle is in great danger. And Willy Wonka recognizes it because he does the double huh. And Lofty was like, you said huh again. A double huh. Two huhs. Huh. Huh. A double huh. And then, like, Willy Wonka notices that Noodle is in danger. So he and the Oompa Loompa go to see the captain, but unfortunately, the captain's not there. There's only dynamite, and Willy Wonka and the Oompa Loompa jump off the ship, and the chocolatiers just stand and laugh as the boat explodes. Slugworth then goes to give Scrubbit the money, and of course, he also gives Keegan Michael Key's police chief a huge lifetime supply of chocolate. Oh my goodness. Like, literally, the chocolate cartels are basically greedy bastards. Oh man. So the next morning, Mrs. Scrubbit and Mr. Bleacher let everyone go with their money, but tells Noodle that her money was to keep her there at the sanctuary. And then, of course, Mrs. Scrubbit grabs Noodle and throws her in the coop again. I mean, seriously, the coop reminds me of the Chokey from Matilda, except the only difference is there is no broken glass, there's no pipe leaking, and there's no nails coming out of the door. That's the only difference. But thankfully, Willy Wonka appears and tells Noodle that they are going to go and steal the ledger and break Noodle free from the coop. And this is at the cathedral, the Catholic Church, the cathedral, where the Keegan-Michael Key's police chief goes to in the middle of the movie, where he confesses to this priest. But unfortunately, this priest works with the chocolate cartel. The priest is being played by Rowan Atkinson, and I'm just gonna say this: chocolate cartel knows how to find their holy connections. It's also revealed that Jim Carter's character used to work for Arthur Slugworth, and he tells Willy Wonka about the existence of the chocolate cartel after previously working as an accountant for Slugworth. So Abacus Crunch, which is Jim Carter's character, used to work as an accountant for Slugworth, and this ledger is basically the way to expose the chocolate cartel. So this is why Willy, Noodle, and the rest of the gang are going to trying to expose the chocolate cartel. So basically, Willy Wonka frees Noodle from the coop, and at the cathedral, Noodle is disguised as a nun and asks the father for some chocolate, but he refuses. Like, Rowan Atkinson's character, like, he plays this, the priest, or the father, I should say. He's like, well, I'm sorry, my dear, I don't have any chocolate. Unfortunately, he actually does. Noodle puts these, I'm pretty sure they're like green flavored chocolate, inside the priest's pockets. So then, what's actually kind of crazy about this next part is that Willy Wonka and the rest of the gang go to the zoo to steal the giraffe, Abigail the giraffe, and then we're gonna have Abigail the giraffe let loose inside the cathedral church, and it's a pretty funny moment because like Rowan Atkinson's character tells the monks that, hey, there's like a funeral going on, but we always remember the judgment day. And then of course he opens the front door and the giraffe stands in front of there, and then Rowan Atkinson's character, run away! Oh my goodness. Like, the giraffe is set loose inside the cathedral. Need I say more? Rowan Atkinson phones the zoo, which is Willy and his friends on the other side of the phone, tells them to get rid of the giraffe. They do so just before the Baron's funeral, and after hearing what happened, Slugworth calls the father and rushes to the cathedral. And the father I'm referring to is Rowan Atkinson's character. And meanwhile, Willy and Noodle had entered underneath the cathedral and started searching for the book. And by the way, those little green flavored chocolates that Noodle puts in, those were the same ones that Willy Wonka gave the giraffe to in the middle of the movie when Willy and Noodle were milking Abigail the giraffe. Those were the same ones. Those were the same green flavored chocolates. They look like the size of beans, if you know what I'm saying. And what's also funny too is that all of the Baron's family members were standing outside the front door, and they were like waiting for the funeral to start, knowing the fact that Rowan Atkinson tells them there's some technical difficulties, but unfortunately it's just basically a giraffe. It's just a giraffe incident. So anyway, Willy and Noodle entered underneath the cathedral and started searching for the book. Finally, Noodle opened a trap door in the wall, and brought the book out. Unfortunately, Slugworth and his companions got them and threw them in a giant chocolate mixer. And of course, Slugworth reveals that the N is actually a Z, which belonged to his brother, Zebedee, and told Noodle that he told her mother she would be in good hands, but instead threw her down the laundry chute and told her mother that she had died before locking the door. And that's a big reveal from Arthur Slugworth. Like, it turns out Slugworth is related to Noodle. Like, it turns out that Slugworth is related to Noodle. And Noodle's mom begged Slugworth to help Noodle, but unfortunately, Slugworth did the unthinkable and drops Noodle inside down a laundry chute at the same sanctuary where Mrs. Scrubbit and Mr. Bleacher runs. Dude, oh my goodness, what was Slugworth thinking? Oh man. But unfortunately, Slugworth puts Noodle and Lily inside this chocolate mixer, and he was gonna have them both drown. He was going to drown them both inside the chocolate mixer. But thankfully, Lofty the Oompa Loompa shows up and drains the chocolate. And Noodle, however, had a plan to eat the chocolate. Had a plan to let the chocolate lift them, and they could bang on the glass. Unfortunately, no one would help them, and the two went under. And thank goodness the chocolate was drained. And Lofty the Oompa Loompa came to the rescue, and the duo got out with the book. The now oversized chief of police got out of the car and was told that he, as well as the chocolatiers, are under arrest. And then the chocolatiers, here's what happens next to the chocolatiers. They were eating, like, Willy Wonka's chocolate that he had, but unfortunately, it's the same chocolate that they tried at the beginning of the movie. It's the Hover Chocs. It's like the Hover Chocs are basically the chocolate that makes you fly, and the chocolatiers had it again. They ate those Hover Chocs, and the chocolatiers start floating again, and Willy reveals that the chocolate they had actually eaten were actually the flying chocolates for earlier on, which is basically the Hover Chocs. Whose were Hover Chocs? Talk about karma right there. Oh man, what is that? What do you say? Revenge is a dish best served cold? Well, I'll tell you this, revenge is sweet. But anyway, Slugworth claims that they'll be back before floating away. Obviously, Slugworth and the Chocolate Cartel are alive, so they're still around, but I'm pretty sure they got arrested. But anyway, Willy then finds out his mother's secret that it's the people you share the chocolate with that matters, not the chocolate itself. So basically, all this time, Willy Wonka was just basically trying to share with the people, trying to share the chocolate with. And if you really think about it, like, he did share Hover Chocs with some people. He even shared that one chocolate sample that is basically a lightning bolt to Noodle. He and his fellow companions at the sanctuary were basically helping him out. And then, of course, obviously they had the Willy Wonka's first chocolate store open until it got shut down. But thankfully, at the end, he was just sharing. And he did. He shares a piece of the chocolate with everybody. He shared it with Abacus Crunch, Larry Chucklesworth, Lottie Bell, Piper Benz, and Noodle. So there were five people. He shared five pieces of chocolate to his friends, including himself. And then what the next part is, we see Willy Wonka's mom out in the distance in front of the cathedral, and she gives a heartfelt kiss to Willy Wonka, knowing the fact that Willy Wonka has done it. He accomplished. He was able to share his chocolate with those around him that he loves. And that's a good message, because if you really think about it, he was really sharing a lot. He was trying to share his passion for chocolate, and of course opening a store and with those around him. Like, he had friends around him who really support the idea of Willy Wonka trying to achieve his dream of opening up his own store and of course selling chocolate. But if you really think about it, he was sharing chocolate with those around him, and I'm glad that he was able to do that. That's a very good message. It's just basically sharing. Like Willy Wonka's mother has a secret saying, it's the people you share the chocolate with that matters, not the chocolate itself. So like that means it's not all for you. You can share this with everybody around you. And Willy Wonka does that. If anything, that's a good message. But anyway, Willy Wonka tells Noodle that her mother still lives, and she lives at the local library, and the two reunited, and Willy shows the Oompa Loompa an old castle, which he plans to make into a factory, and the Oompa Loompa becomes chief chocolate taster. And that is basically it. And before that, I like how Willy Wonka sings Pure Imagination, and it hits you right in the childhood feels, I'm not gonna lie. Come with me, and you'll be in a world of pure imagination. It really hits you in the feels right there. Because this movie has more connection to the 1971 film. Like, it heavily references the 1971 film more than the Tim Burton film. And if you really think about it, if you've seen this movie, you'll realize this right away. It's basically connecting more to the 1971 film. Because the 1971 film is a classic. And a lot of people, everybody's going to remember that. Sure, a lot of people will remember the Tim Burton one as well, which is fine, even though it had a mixed reception, and of course, generally positive reviews, even though nowadays is a little more mixed. But at the same time, a lot of people are going to like the 1971 film. But anyway, one other thing, there's even a mid-credit scene where the Oompa Loompa, or Lofty, reveals what happened to everyone, including Scrubbit and Bleacher. And Scrubbit and Bleacher were under arrest, and the two have one last kiss. And also, if you're all probably wondering, how did the chocolate got poisoned? What was up with that? Well, it turns out the chief of the cartel, who are unable to arrest Willy Wonka, like, they expose him to Scrubbit, and of course, the chocolate cartel infused the chocolates with Yeti sweat. And Scrubbit incites chaos among the customers, leading to the destruction of Wonka's store. So basically, the chocolate cartel, the police chief, and Scrubbit and Bleacher, they poisoned the whole group. Poisoned Willy Wonka's chocolate with Yeti sweat. And in case you're all probably wondering, it turned like people's hairs into different colors, including the chocolate itself. That's the reason why Willy Wonka's store was burned down. But thankfully, Willy Wonka exposed the chocolate cartel with that ledger, to which Willy Wonka was able to find Noodle's mom in the ledger. And then, of course, the one of the police officers who worked for the police chief arrested Mrs. Scrubbit and Mr. Bleacher at the end of the movie. Also, the Oompa Loompa also revealed that the other members of Scrubbit and Bleacher's sanctuary, like Jim Carter, I believe Jim Carter was able to find an accountant job again, including, this also includes Larry Chucklesworth making a comeback in comedy, and I'm pretty sure he'll do well with that crazy bow tie. And then Lottie Bell, I believe Lottie Bell is basically back in the field of operating phones to get, a phone operator job. And then Piper reunited with her friends at the end. And also going back to Abacus for a moment, like he reunited with his family, and I'm pretty sure he got another accounting job or some sort. Maybe. But also, I already mentioned that Mr. and Mrs. Scrubbit and Mr. Bleacher were under arrest. So there's that. And then, of course, obviously, Willy Wonka is going to open up his chocolate factory. And that's basically it. And that is it. That is the Wonka movie. And I'm going to be honest with you, I had a lot of fun with this movie. It was actually a good movie. And even before I went into this movie, I had doubts of this movie, but unfortunately, I saw the trailers. There were some reviews came out, and I'm just like, okay, I'm gonna give this movie a chance. And thankfully, this movie proved me wrong. This movie was good. The Wonka movie was good. And fun fact, I saw this movie on Christmas night. It was literally one of the best Christmas presents that me and my family ever received. Like, we saw this on Christmas. Like, we saw this on Christmas night, and it was amazing. We had a lot of fun with this movie. And also, on IMDb, the IMDb rating for Wonka is at a 7.1 out of 10. And how does it rank with the other two Willy Wonka movies? Well, the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, it has a 7.8 out of 10, while Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory has a 6.7 out of 10, and that's on IMDb. So Wonka has a 7.1 out of 10. So it's in the middle. It's in the middle. It's in between Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The 2023 Wonka movie beats out Tim Burton's Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie. And of course, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory still holds up. It holds up. This is the third Willy Wonka movie where it gets a film adaptation. And this movie, that movie delivered. It literally delivered. Like, the direction from Paul King was good. I loved the story. Loved the casting. Timothy Chalamet did a fantastic job as Willy Wonka. Now look, he won't top Gene Wilder, but he did top Johnny Depp. I will say this. But, like, Timothy Chalamet topped Johnny Depp, but he won't top Gene Wilder. I will say this, though. I mean, as interesting as Tom Holland would have been as Willy Wonka, because Tom Holland and Timothy Chalamet were the front runners to play Willy Wonka, but I believe Timothy Chalamet did a fantastic job as Willy Wonka, and all the cast members did pretty good. But to me, it's Timothy Chalamet. I know there's some people who were split on Timothy Chalamet's performance, but to me, I thought he was okay. I mean, playing Willy Wonka, it's not easy. It is not an easy character to play. Just to throw that out there. And I believe Timothy Chalamet delivered a good performance. Also, the musical numbers were good, too. I really enjoyed the musical numbers. Pure Imagination was good, and of course, the Oompa Loompa theme. Hugh Grant, I will say this. Hugh Grant was an odd choice to play the Oompa Loompa, but I'm just like, whatever. But at the end of the day, I really enjoyed Hugh Grant as the Oompa Loompa. I wish the Oompa Loompa was in the movie a little more. I mean, he only had a few scenes. I mean, it would be interesting to see him in more scenes, but you know, the main focus was obviously on Willy Wonka and him trying to open up his own chocolate shop, but of course, chocolate factory now. But going back to the musical numbers, I enjoyed the musical numbers in this movie. Like, Pure Imagination and the Oompa Loompa theme were spot on. They were pure nostalgia. And the other songs were good. I love the Scrub song. That was pretty good. And there were a couple of other songs too. Like Sweet Tooth for a Moment. And then of course, You Never Had Chocolate Like This. And then of course many other songs, and of course other songs as well. But that being said, this film, but I will say this though, this movie will deliver a good chocolatier. But at the end of the day, this movie lives happily ever after. And that is a wrap on this episode. So anyway, what did you all think of the 2023 Willy Wonka movie? Did you like the movie? Did you not like the movie at all? I would love to hear your thoughts. And if there's anything that I'm missing from this movie, please let me know. Comment below as well. If I miss out on anything from this movie. But anyway, that is a wrap on this episode. Thank you all for tuning in to Kodo Cinema. I'm your host, Bar Kodo, a.k.a. Kodo Man. Remember to watch movies and stay positive.